World Sport from the BBC. Hello, I'm Mark Crossley. Coming up, we're live in Cape Town as South Africa struggle in their reply against Australia. We'll have the latest from Paris as the likes of Djokovic, Murray and Federer try to reach the fourth round of the Masters. And another Premier League team is going commercial and changing the name of its stadium. First, though, to cricket, and it's day two of the first test between South Africa and Australia in Cape Town. Australia began the day on 214 for 8, but were eventually dismissed for 284. Let's cross live to Newlands and get news of a somewhat stuttering reply from our reporter, Ken Borland.
Well, there's an air of disbelief here at Newlands because the somewhat stuttering has become an absolute collapse. South Africa have crashed to 77 for 6. After lunch, they resumed on 49 for 1, but in the next 5 overs, they've lost 5 wickets, and the man who's caused most of the damage, Shane Watson, he removed Hashimamla and Graham Smith in the first over after lunch, rather Hashimamla and Jacques Callis, Abner for 3 and Callis for a duck, and then followed up with the wicket of Graham Smith for 37, and Ashrell Prince followed the very next ball for a duck. And Ryan Harris has just chipped in with another crucial wicket, that of A.B. de Villiers, chapped LBW for 8. Australia making wonderful use of the review system. 3 of those have been taken upstairs after initially being given not out by the umpire. So Australia rampant, South Africa 77 for 6.
Ken, thanks very much indeed. India's selectors have retained their 15-man squad for the second test against West Indies in Kolkata, meaning there is no place for off-spinner Harbhajan Singh. The 31-year-old, who's taken more than 400 test wickets, struggled in England, where India were whitewashed 4-0 in the test series. He was also dropped from last month's one-day squad for the 5-0 home victory over England. India won the test by 5 wickets on Wednesday to take a 1-0 lead into the 3-match series. The second test starts in Kolkata on Monday. Now to tennis, and the third round is underway at the Paris Masters, where in the last hour the second seed and world number 3 Andy Murray has beaten the American Andy Roddick 6-2, 6-2. On court at the moment, Andy Roddick 6-2, 6-2. On court at the moment, the world number 1 Novak Djokovic is playing the 15th seed from Serbia, Viktor Troicki, and it's Troicki currently serving for the first set. He leads 5-4. Later, the former world number 1 Roger Federer faces the Frenchman Richard Gasquet, a game that the Swiss is relishing.
I always enjoy playing against any French guy because they're good shot makers, and especially here in France, I think it's always with the crowd that can maybe get into it a bit more, because when you do play a French guy, it's a bit more intense. But Gasquet seems like, or he must have played well if he beats Anderson here, which could be potentially a very difficult matchup in the first round for him coming back from injury.
England's Premier League is to lose one of its oldest and most famous stadium names. Third place Newcastle United have announced that St James's Park is to be renamed the Sports Direct Arena as part of a plan to sell the naming rights to their ground, which has been their home since 1886. St James's Park, which has a capacity of over 52,000, could join the Emirates Stadium and the Etihad Stadium in adopting the name of a commercial sponsor if the plans come to fruition. And the thinking behind it? Well, he is the managing director of Newcastle, Derek Lambias.
It's taken us a long time to actually go, hang on, this isn't working. It's too local. Our sponsors are normally local. And we need a global arena. So the word arena gives us, opens the doors to a different type of sponsor. But we need to generate our cash flows. We need to maximise our revenues. And what we want to do is bring football to the area that's affordable. And we also need to put players on the pitch. So we need to maximise our revenue stream.
So what's been the reaction on Tyneside? Here's the BBC Newcastle football reporter, Mick Lowes.
Just when you thought things were going swimmingly on Tyneside, they've come up with another PR gaffe. We know that that the football is very much a commercial world nowadays, but, you know, where do you draw the line? The stadium is already heavily branded with the owner's company, but now they want to move it on a step. It has, strictly speaking, been known as sportsdirect.com at St James's Park for the past number of months, but they clearly feel that that's not enough, and in the interim name it the Sports Direct Arena, and then look to try and get some multinational on board and name it whatever.
Manchester City are once again in a quandary over what to do about Carlos Tevez. Earlier this week, Tevez accepted his fine of 2 weeks' salary and decided not to contest the breach of contract charge he was given for refusing to warm up during the recent Champions League game with Bayern Munich. He was due to report for training on Wednesday but didn't, having apparently flown to his native Argentina instead. He'd asked if he could go but was refused permission. So what's he doing in Argentina? According to local journalist Asli Pellet, they don't know, but he's welcome all the same.
We are aware that he's here, but we don't know his whereabouts exactly. He's with his family somewhere in Buenos Aires. Argentines love Tevez. He's a hero here in Argentina, and he's known to have a temper. It's almost associated with his great football skills. Whatever his decision will be, there will be no doubt that Argentinians will support him in his decisions or what he will say to public in the next couple of days.
One line of tennis for you, it's breaking news, and that's Tomas Berdych of the Czech Republic has just booked his place in the ATP World Tour Finals in London later this month after overcoming Janko Tipsarevic in the third round of the Paris Masters. The Ivory Coast trio of Yaya Touré, Didier Drogba and Gervinho are amongst 10 football players nominated for the African Player of the Year Award. The three English Premier League players have been joined by the 2010 champion Samuel Eto'o and Ghanaian internationals Andre Ayew, Asamoah Gyan and Kevin Prince-Boateng on a list of nominees that was announced by the Confederation of African Football. Moroccan midfielder Adil Tarat, Senegal striker Moussa Sow and Mali midfielder Seydou Keita were also nominated. The winner will be decided by a vote of Africa's national team coaches and announced at a December the 22nd ceremony in Accra. The Australian Jared Lyall has won a one-shot lead after the first round of the Australian Open Golf in Melbourne. Lyall shot a first-round 65 to be one-shot clear of the Americans Dustin Watson and Nick Watney. The former world number one Tiger Woods is in a tie for eighth place after carding a 68. Earlier in the day, the American golfer John Daly, who's famous for his suspect temperament, stormed off the course midway through his first round. At the 10th hole, Daly reacted angrily to receiving an automatic two-stroke penalty for hitting the wrong ball in the bunker. The two-time major winner then reached the 11th and proceeded to put six or seven balls, officials were unsure of the exact number, into the water before grabbing his son and heading for the exit. A Major League Baseball player, Wilson Ramos of the Washington Nationals, is reported to have been kidnapped in his native Venezuela. Judicial police said Ramos was abducted by four gunmen who entered his house in Santa Ynez, 150 kilometres west of Venezuela's capital, Caracas. Here's Colin Maitland.
The 24-year-old Washington Nationals catcher, considered one of baseball's brightest young stars, was at home in Santa Ynez, about 150 kilometers from Caracas, with his father and brothers, when several armed men apparently forced their way in and took him away. A police spokesman said there'd been so far no contact between the kidnappers and Ramos's family. Venezuela is home to dozens of Major League Baseball players, and the families of wealthy athletes are periodically targeted by kidnappers in hopes of a ransom. This appears, though, to have been the first case of a Major League player himself being kidnapped. In 2009, the mother of former big league pitcher Victor Zambrano was rescued after a three-day kidnapping ordeal. This was just 9 days after his cousin was kidnapped and later killed. That same year, Colorado Rockies catcher Yorvit Torrealba's son and brother-in-law were kidnapped but released a day later.
In basketball, the NBA owners and players have finished their discussions after meeting for nearly 12 hours in an attempt to end the 132-day lockout. NBA Commissioner David Stern says the league has stopped the clock and will continue to negotiate on Thursday. He said, "I would not read into this optimism or pessimism." Before we go, South Africa are 77-6 in reply to Australia's 284 all-out. That's on day two of the first test in Cape Town. Shane Watson has taken four wickets. And